Amen. Nobody can sing that of the world. The world's been good to me. Can't do it. Can't do it. God has been good to me. Amen. Would you turn in your scripture tonight to 1 John chapter 2? We'll be in verses 18 through 29. We'll begin with verse 26. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. This is our Wednesday evening Bible study, and in case you haven't been here, we've announced it. If you have a question that arises from the study as we go through it tonight, just text it to me, and at the end of the teaching, we will get to that. Amen. We began this last week. I want to deal with what John is dealing with once again. I kind of shortened the title, but security against seducers. Security against seducers. We've been warned that there in the last days there'll be seducers that will come amongst us to try to seduce us away from Christ, away from truth, away from the church to another way. Let's bow our hearts for prayer as we begin tonight. Father, thank you for your people that are gathered here. Thank you for that hunger for your word. God, that growth that comes from your word. Now, Lord, take your word tonight, and may it be a living thing in our hearts and our minds. Make truth very clear to us, Lord, tonight. Lord, minister through the truth that is shared. As your Holy Spirit first inspired John to speak these things and write these things, may that Holy Spirit be here tonight to make them real to our hearts once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Security against seducers. The verse I want to look at, and are we off the wall tonight? I mean, more so than normal. Okay. The thing, I stepped right into that one. The verse I want to begin with is what I think is a pivotal verse for this section here, but it's verse 26. Here is the warning that comes from John. And this is why he said he wrote this epistle. This is why 1 John is in your Bible. He gave other reasons, but here's a very clear reason. Would you just read this out loud with me? Could you do that tonight? Now, this is John the Apostle saying this. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Them that seduce you. I said last week that there will come into every believer's life, somebody or somebodies who will seek to lead that Christian away from Christ. It will happen. There was something in a church that we were in one time. There was a young man that was very bad for the other young people. And I actually have seen this happen. I've seen another young man come to the altar, answering the altar call, come and weep and cry, get back to God, get back where he needs to be with the Lord, soften his heart before the Lord, pray through, God come by and touch him. And as this young man is praying at the altar, I've watched that other young man pacing back behind the back pews in the overflow, waiting for the guy that's praying to get through. And I've watched the guy get through praying, talk to a few people at the altar, walk to the back, and that fellow would be back there waiting for him. Start talking to him, trying to mess him up, make him lose what he got from God before the evening was over, invite him to get in the car with him where he'd have music on that was not good Christian music, get him to go places, and try to get him back away from God before the night was over. Now, it's not always that evident, but I want you to know it happens. You let one of these young people say, I'm going to go all out for God. Not that they're not. I'm just using an example. Say, I'm going to go out for get something from God on the altar tonight, and somebody will come into their lives seeking to lead them away. And it doesn't change with the age factor. There will be people in and out of our lives seeking to seduce us from Christianity. It's a frightful thing, isn't it? And so that's why tonight I'm glad I can preach there's a security against that. There is a prevention to that. Since the beginning, there have been these, and they rarely try immediately to get you to leave Christ and go into the world. What they'll begin to do is get you to try to question things about what you believe, kind of tweak what you believe or put a new spin on it or say there's a new way of looking at what you believe. Because if they can change what you believe, then they can ultimately change your behavior. It's a real danger. And so what these seducers will do, they will challenge what you have been taught, and they'll begin by challenging what your church teaches. They'll begin to say, oh, you believe that? Your pastor believes that? Your church believes that? Don't you know that's silly? Don't you know that's old-fashioned? See, they begin to attack. Now, with the ones that John was writing to, what they did is they came by and said, yes, Jesus was real, but he's not who your apostle told you he was. He's just another man. Or these particular people say, well, you know, Jesus, he didn't have a real body. In fact, here's what they taught. They believed that Jesus was the human and Christ was the God that came upon the human at the baptism. But they said Jesus either didn't have a real body or his body wasn't God. It wasn't human God. And they begin to twist things up and say that Jesus was just born of a natural birth and therefore he was not really God. You know, we're living in a time we got all kinds of people who believe in Jesus. But did you know it's not believing in Jesus, it's believing who Jesus really is. You know, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, whom do men say that I am? And say, some said, well, you're Elijah. Some said you're one of the prophets. And Jesus said, the important question to answer is whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Muslims believe in Jesus. Hindus believe in Jesus. Mormons believe in Jesus. We go down the line, but the question is, do they believe the right thing about Jesus? You say, is that important? Well, let's look here at these verses, verse 22. John said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, or Jesus is the Messiah? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. What do you believe about Jesus? Did you know every false belief can go back to a wrong belief about God? Every wrong behavior can go back to a wrong belief about God. You know, some folks have begin teaching that God will never judge, that God always overlooks sin. You know what's going to happen if you believe in a God that always overlooks sin and never judges? You'll begin to live however you want to live, right? And so it's important that you believe correctly about God, about the Father, about the Son. And so when John was writing, there were those that were trying to twist people's belief on who Jesus was. Now, I had to get to that because that's why John wrote it. But let's go back to this. John said, I've written these things unto you concerning them that seduce you. What my goal is tonight, from what John wrote, is to show you that we have a security against these seducers. We have a protection against this seduction. I'm going to give you the three things, and then we're going to go back and look at the scripture. What is our protection against false teaching? What is our protection against the seducers? Number one, it's a sensing through the Holy Spirit. It is a sensing through the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer, you have a built-in meter, truth meter, I call it. The Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, this meter, when you hear truth, goes truth, 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 truth. And when you hear error, it goes error. The Holy Spirit in you will do that. That was a little roughly put, but you get the picture. The second protection is sticking with the saving message. Now, the thing is, when you begin to mess with this book and change the message, it'll no longer save. It'll no longer change a life. The way to avoid seduction is just to stick with the message that saved. And then the third protection against false teaching and seducers is staying in connection with Christ. I didn't say keep on believing in Christ. I said stay in connection with Christ. You'll never be led astray if daily you are in connection with Christ. Amen? So let's look at these three preventions to seduction, false belief, heresy. First of all, the sensing through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. John said, there's those trying to seduce you, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an unction. Now, unction is an old English word. And you may know what it is or you may not, but the old English word unction was literally ointment, you know, like these medicines you rub on. And the word ointment came from the word oil. So an unction, and by the way, what did they use to anoint prophets and kings in the Bible? They used what? Oil. So the word unction literally is anointing. Now listen, John didn't say this just to preachers. He didn't say this just to prophets or apostles. He said this to the believers that were the readers of his epistle. So that would be all of us tonight. He said, you have an unction from the Holy One. If you are born again, you have been anointed and you know all things. This anointing is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within us is a sensor that recognizes truth. I won't go into it further tonight from John, but he will later in his epistle. He says, if you're really born again, now you got to be born again. If you're really a Christian, the Holy Spirit in you will be a sensor of truth. Let me show you how this works. I remember that Mary's cousin Elizabeth became expectant with John the Baptist before Mary became expectant with Christ. How many remembers the Bible says John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb? Now, 6 months later, Mary becomes expectant with our Lord, the Messiah. How many remembers what happened when Mary, unannounced, goes down into the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth to find out if what she had heard about her was true? And as Mary is knocking on the door, Elizabeth is somewhere in her home, and all of a sudden, John the Baptist, the embryo, John the Baptist in his mother's womb begins to go crazy. And when the door is open and Mary comes in, Elizabeth begins to prophesy and said, how is it that the mother of my Lord has... How did Elizabeth know that Mary was expectant, number one? How did Elizabeth know, number two, that Mary's expectancy was the truth? Was Jesus the truth, the Word? How did she know that? Because the Holy Spirit in John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb recognized the truth, the Son of God, the Word, and Mary's womb. And Elizabeth felt John the Baptist, full of the Holy Spirit, indicating to her that the truth was in Mary. And that is just an illustration of what happens. If you're truly born again and you're truly saved, you have this unction, you have this anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it recognizes truth. Now, this sounds like a bold statement, but that if this is true, there are a lot of people that aren't saved. You say, how can you say they're not saved? Because every time a false doctrine comes along, they follow it. If they were really saved, there would be something in their heart that says, that's not right. That's not the truth. How many knows there's some idiotic things being preached from the pulpits? And I look and marvel, and I say to my wife, look at those crowds. How do people follow that? Well, either they're not saved or they are ignoring the unction within them that says, that's not real. No, how is that a protection? Let's take our young people, born again and saved, and somebody comes to you and say, you know, you don't have to believe all that stuff about Jesus and still make it to heaven, and you don't have to live right and holy. If you're really saved, the Holy Spirit in you, like the Holy Spirit in John, will begin to leap up in you and say, hey, wait a minute, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. Aren't you glad we have that censor against error, against falsehood? These false teachers in John's time were teaching that they had a special enlightenment, and they would walk into the church and say, you need to listen to us. We have this special knowledge and this special enlightenment in our heads. You know what John said? He said, you don't need to listen to them because they claim to have special enlightenment in their heads, because you have an unction in your heart. And they're trying to like act like they're enlightened, but when they begin to speak that unction within your heart, it draws back. It doesn't sanction. It doesn't approve what you hear from them. You know, it really works this way. If you're honest, you'll know when the Holy Spirit is telling you that what you're hearing is truth or not. If you're honest. How many's ever, maybe from a salesperson or some scheme, they were talking very persuasive and it sounded so right, but the whole time something was nagging you down deep? How many's ever wish you had listened to that nagging? You knew there wasn't something right about it. I won't tell you the whole tragic story, but that's what happened when, before we ever came here evangelizing, hit a deer in Zanesville, wrecked my car, had to get a new one in Pennsylvania. We went looking at a dealership, and oh, it looked so nice. It was so clean. It was what we wanted. It was a Buick and all of that. And I got to looking around at the engine, and I pulled the dipstick out, and the oil was clean. But Brother John, I smelt of it. And I'd worked as a maintenance mechanic. And something was going off in my head. I told my wife right then, I said, don't smell right. Well, how's it supposed to smell? I said, I don't know, but it don't smell right. This oil don't smell right. And something in me said, don't do it, don't buy it. I bought it, and we got 1,000 miles to Omaha, or 1,200 miles, however far it was, Omaha, Nebraska, and the engine blew. They had tried to doctor the engine up till they sold it. And that's what I was smelling. I was smelling that stuff they had used. But I knew something in me said, it's not right. And listen, that's why it's so important to listen to the Holy Spirit within us. When people are getting caught up in these false doctrines and all these things that people come by and say, oh, you don't need to live that way. You know, that's silly. You know, you can have the world and be a Christian. If you're born again, if you'd listen, something in you would be protesting that. That's what John said. It's an unction. It's an unction. It's, and now listen to what he says. Can we go back to the verse 20? You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So if you're a believer, you can leave here tonight and say, I know everything. Is that what John said? Is that what he said? Listen, we got to interpret this in the context. John is not saying that you're a know-it-all. You ever met any of those? What he's saying is, here are these false teachers are trying to tell you there's another way, but you already know everything you need to know. It's not talking about learning more, but see, they were saying there's something else you got to know to be saved, and there's something else you got to know to be spiritual, and there's some new way you got to adopt. And John says, wait a minute. You already know about Jesus. You already know the truth about him. You already know the gospel. You know everything that you need to know to be saved and holy and righteous and on your way to heaven. And help me, look, we're not know-it-alls, but help me would have to admit, you know what you need to know to make it to heaven. Why do we need a new way? Why do we need a new thing? Why do we need to listen to the seducer when we know what it takes to stand before God and be ready? Not know-it-alls. We're not know-it-alls. But we know what we need to know. And what John is also saying, what you know truthfully. You know it correctly. You know what is life-changing, what is right. And you don't need this new thing the seducers are offering you. The new doctrine of Gnosticism was bad for the church. It was bad for Christians. And John says, if you're honest, you know this. You really know it because the Holy Spirit within you is saying, this is not good. This is not truth. Don't listen to it. Don't follow it. Stay away from it. I believe it's that way with the Christian. You can override that. You can ignore that. But I believe if you're born again and you're watching a movie and it's got bad stuff on it, I believe that unction will say, that's not good for you. That's not good for your Christian life. That's not good for your Christian witness. I believe if you're really born again, you can put the music in. And if it's of the world or of a certain kind that is catering to our flesh, that anointing within will say, wait a minute, you don't want to listen to stuff like that. I heard recently of young people, Christian young people, watching movies with evil and sexuality and just the vile stuff. And it reminded me what I've said so often. I've told young people, it shouldn't bother you that you watch that stuff. What should bother you is that it doesn't bother you to watch that stuff. Because if you're born again, the Holy Spirit, he don't like trash. He don't like filth and uncleanness. I'm talking about a protection from the seducer. And how many knows the ultimate seducer is Satan? And God has given us the Holy Spirit, and we're to listen to the Holy Spirit. When he says, that's bad, that's not good for you, that'll take your joy, it'll take your peace, it'll take your walk with God, it'll take, we need to listen to that anointing. Can you say amen? And John said, that's why you know things. You know it's not good for you, and you know that this is the truth. In verse 27, he reemphasizes this. Here it is again, but the anointing or the unction, same word, which you have received of him, it abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now I want you to look at this verse, because some people got it wrong. Did you see that? John said, you got this unction, you got this anointing, it'll tell you what's true and not true, therefore you don't need any man to teach you. Shut your Bibles, let's go home. You don't need me to teach you. Is that what John said? Didn't he say, you need not that any man teach you? Is that what he's saying? Let me tell you how folks get this wrong. We had an incident once where somebody in the sanctuary did something crazy. And I always heard they took folks to the furnace room, so I took them to the furnace room. And I said, what you did tonight was not of God. He said, oh, yes, it was. I said, no, it wasn't. And he said, God told me to do that. And I said, well, it's my privilege to be pastor. And as pastor, I'm telling you, you shouldn't have done it, and you're not going to do it again. He said, I don't have to listen to you. I do what God tells me to do. Now, see, that's somebody that would take this verse wrong. I've got an unction. I've got anointing. God's speaking to me, and I don't need any man to teach me. That's not what John is saying. Think about it. Let's think about it before I apply it. If John is saying that, why are they listening to him? Because he's teaching them. He would be teaching a man, teaching them that they don't need a man teaching them. So if they don't need a man teaching them, then they don't need to listen to him when he tells them they don't need a man teaching them. Right? That's like me saying tonight, you don't need to listen to pastors. Well, why would you listen to me? Why would you listen to me tell you you don't need to? That's not what John's saying. He's not saying we don't need teachers. God has put in the church teachers, right? Ephesians chapter 4, gift of teaching. What he's saying is you don't need somebody to tell you what I'm saying to you is truth. Okay, let me just try this. I'm going to tell you that Jesus was God in the flesh. Now, this is truth. I'm telling you the truth. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. You don't need a teacher to tell you that it's true. He teaches the truth, and then the Holy Spirit in you says, that's the truth that man's saying. Right? That's the truth that teacher's teaching. Amen? And so that's what John's saying. It's not that you don't need teachers, but you don't need to teach them that you're telling the truth. They know it when they listen to it, when they hear you. But I think John's saying something else. You see, these Gnostics showed up as the new kind of teachers with a new thing to teach. And John is saying to them, look, you don't need a new kind of teacher. You have the Holy Spirit. And beyond that, some people become slavish followers of a man, of a singular teacher. They follow one ministry, one teacher, and everything they take in is that person. That's a danger. Amen. We have the truth of Scripture. Amen. If we'll listen to it, the Spirit will tell us that's what we need. Now, we're going to have to move quickly here, but verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is in the truth. Don't you love how John, he gives confidence. He shows his confidence. He says, I know you got the anointing. I know you know all things. And now he says, I know you know the truth, and you know that no lie is of the truth. Amen. I'm glad I can say of this church, you know the truth. You know what is real. Amen. There's a confidence to be put there, you recognize what is true. And so you say, well, why are you getting up teaching it again if we know it? Because there's just something about reaffirming what we know. Amen. The apostle says, I don't really need to write this unto you, but I'm going to do it, and it's not grievous to me because it's good for you just to hear it again. John said, I know you know it, but here it is again. So what's the first protection against seduction? It's the sensing of the Holy Spirit within. Number two is sticking with the original message. Look at verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now let me tell you tonight, there is a real danger of becoming so familiar with the gospel that you start looking for a new thing. Okay? And I have seen this over and over. People growing in the Lord, hearing the Word of God preached, growing in Christ, saved by that message, filled with the Holy Spirit by that message, growing by that message, and all of a sudden they say, well, we need something new. John said, stick with the message you've heard from the beginning. And he goes all the way back to what he and Paul and Peter and Andrew and all of them preached, the message they got from Christ about Christ. He said, what you heard from the... Listen, I don't believe we need any message other than the one that the apostles preached. How many believes that? And I'll tell you, well, a lot of what you hear, the apostles never preached that. They never taught that. How many believes what I'm telling you? Listen to religious television, religious radio, and the apostles never taught that. Amen? John said, if you want to have a protection from the seducers, stick with the message that you heard from the beginning. Amen? Just stay with it. In other words, there's a danger of following after new doctrines. There's a danger of following after new charismatic leaders. There's a danger of following new trends and fads in Christianity. Amen? Just stick with the message. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, stick with the message that saved you. Stick with the message that changed your life. Stick with the message that brought growth to your heart and to your life. I've never understood that. Folks hear the gospel, it changes them, and then they got mixed up in false doctrine looking for something new. Why didn't you just stick with the thing that brought you out of the world, saw forgiveness of sins, and caused you to grow in Christ? I believe in sticking with things. Over and over, the Bible talks about continuing in the things which you have heard. In fact, Jesus said, then are you my disciples indeed, if you continue in the things which you have heard. Amen? Instead, sometimes someone all of a sudden will say, well, I'm glad I found out I don't have to live like I've been taught. Well, when you live the way you've been taught, you were free from the world. You had victory in church. You had the peace of God. Now someone's telling you, well, you don't have to live like that. I've tried to warn folks about this in the past because there's always something new that enters in. And instead of listening to the warning, I'm thinking today at specific times I've warned people, well, we found a new way. We don't need that. And you know what they've been since that warning? They've been here. They've been there. They've believed this. They've believed that. They've changed their belief on this. They've changed their belief on that. You'll be seduced if there's not something in your heart that says, I'm going to stick with the message I heard from the beginning. Why not stick with what saved you? Verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. What did he insert this in here for? Because it's this simple. The message that saved us was the message about eternal life. That's why we don't change it. It's about being saved. It's about making it to heaven. The message that saved us wasn't the message of self-esteem. The message that saved us wasn't the message of prosperity. The message that saved us was not the message of any of those things. It was the message that brought eternal life. Verse 26 is the warning again. These things have I written concerning them that seduce you. So what's the protection? It's the sensing of the Holy Spirit. It's the sticking with the message. And then last of all, it's staying in connection with Christ. Staying in connection with Christ. I want to go back to verse 27 just for the end of the verse. Look what it says at the end of the verse. Ye shall abide in him. Just stay in Jesus. Be connected with Jesus. And then in verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Stay in him. Stay connected. You know what this is a reference to? John 15. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Then Jesus said, abide in me. If any man abide not in me, no, I'll get to that in a minute. He said, abide in me. If I abide in you and you abide in me, my mind's slipping. It just won't come. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and they are burned. Jesus said, abide in me. Stay connected to the vine. Why? It's through the vine that comes sustenance and strength. You know, that's why we need to keep our connection with Christ tight. Stay in connection with him. And you see, here's the question to ask. Does this new teaching increase my connection to the Lord? Does it increase my relationship with Christ? Does following that thing increase my closeness to Christ? Does that music, that movie, that friend draw me closer to Christ or drive a wedge between me and Christ? Amen. John said, if you want to be safe from the seducers, abide in him. Stay connected with Christ. Amen. I want to be connected to Christ. He's the vine. As a branch, I want to keep that connection, because if I don't, I'll wither, I'll dry up, I'll be burned. Amen. Stay in connection with Christ. And look what John says. If you'll stay in connection with Christ, not only will you resist the seducers, but look at verse 28. When he shall appear, you'll have a confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I want to ask you tonight, next time someone begins to seduce you, ask yourself this question. Can I do that and not be ashamed when he comes? Could I be listening to that and not be ashamed when he comes? Could I be watching that and not be ashamed before he comes or when he comes? You see, if I'm connected with Christ, I'll be ready. He'll have me ready. And have confidence. Do you have a confidence tonight that if Jesus were to come, you'd be ready? Or do you have a fear that if he were to come tonight, you wouldn't be ready? Do doubts set in? Are you ashamed of things that you've done if you knew he would come tonight? John said, if you'll stay connected to him, you need not be ashamed. And then verse 29, if you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. John brings it down to a test again. You know, all through his epistle, people say, I know God, I walk with him, I'm in the light. John boils it down to a test. He said, I'll tell you how you can know somebody's righteous. I'll tell you how you can know someone's born again. It's if they do righteousness. There's such a de-emphasis on this. In fact, an attack on any Christian who tries to live good and pure and right. And we're not talking about salvation by works. Works will never earn your salvation. But John is very pointed. If you're born of him, you will do righteousness. It doesn't mean we don't ever wrestle or don't ever fall. But it means if I'm born of him, it'll be the habit of my life to try to have righteousness and do righteousness. That's how you tell a false teacher. They de-emphasize righteousness. They mock somebody trying to live pure. But if you're born of him, something in your heart says, I want to do right. And if you're in connection with Christ, you will do right. Jesus said in Matthew, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And I hurried through the last part to get to the question, but let's go over it just really quick. There's seducers trying to lead us away from Christ, false doctrines, false ways of living. John said we'll be protected against that by the sensing of the Holy Spirit within, listening to the Holy Spirit. That's not right. Secondly, by sticking with the message that we heard, not always looking for a new message. And thirdly, by staying connected with Christ, staying in relationship with Jesus, keeping our relationship with Christ unbroken. You know, we've been in the middle of this Ebola crisis, and there's a real concern if somebody's infectious, we want to quarantine them, because if he comes in contact If he comes in contact with others, he spreads his infection to them. And how many knows if all of a sudden in a certain area a bunch of people get Ebola, that somebody, usually one person, brought it to the whole group? I heard a saying years ago, and I believe it's true, speaking of in the church, wherever there is corruption, there is a corruptor. Amen. It's the same with Ebola. If there's a group of people starting getting, a lot of people start getting, somebody brought that to that group of people. And that's what John's talking about. You know, it's going to be harsh on the one that corrupts. The one that would come in, corrupt our young people, or corrupt our other people, or spread false doctrine, or spread wrong ways of living. That's an awful thing. And I want to tell you, we ought to have that same attitude that we do towards the Ebola people. If someone has Ebola, I'm going to pray for them, and I have compassion for them, but I'm going to stay away from them. Right? That's just wisdom. And if somebody has a corrupting spirit, pray for them, but stay away from them. Amen? All right, let's see if I got the question. I was trying to read it and talk, but didn't do very well. Let me try it again. Good question. So how do we determine whether it's the Spirit telling us something is not right, opposed to just what has been taught to us all our lives? I knew that we would need to get to that, and I didn't, because there's always a threefold thing, okay? And I'm going to go too far into this. The Bible teaches we have these three things. Number one, we have the Spirit, but that's in conjunction with this Word. If it ever goes against the intended meaning of Scripture, then we're being deceived by the inner voice. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's something else. That's like the question said, it's the way we've been trained, and our mind has been trained to interpret things. But if you feel it in your heart and you go to this book and this verifies, and the third thing is reason. I'm not saying we know truth by reason, but truth is reasonable. God said, come now, let us reason together. If it's stupid, hear me, it ain't of God. I don't care what it is. I mean, let me give you an illustration. Sometimes, time back, you know, they do crazy things. And someone said, well, you know, Jesus said you need to become like a little child. And so the man told everybody, adults, everybody, to come to church that night with diapers on. Okay? And then no one would need to go to the restroom that night, because that might be a good idea. But need to go to the restroom that night because they would just do what a baby does. And that would be like becoming a baby to inherit the kingdom. That's stupid. Okay? It's not reasonable. Okay? And so if it is truly the voice of the Spirit, it will be verified by the Word. And I'm not talking about men's reason. I'm talking about God is not crazy. All right? God's not crazy. That's a very good question. I'm glad I was able to answer it. I'm glad we have this this protection against error. I want to listen to that Spirit. Be honest right now. Haven't you gotten in trouble by not listening to the Holy Spirit? People's had their minds branded with things because they didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, right? Haven't you gotten troubled by not just sticking with what saved you? And when our relationship with Christ begins to be broken, that's when we're susceptible and open to corruption and being led. Oh, I'm glad he's the vine. I'm glad we can be connected to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand across the building? Go ahead and cut music. Oh, hallelujah. Do you love the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. How many knows when we're connected with him, we can feel the strength and the help come? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. We used to sing, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Amen. We can stay true with these three things. Would you come, let the truth of God, just pray about the things that you've heard tonight. Would you come? And as you come, go ahead and come. Go ahead. I'll talk while you're coming. Would you say, God, help me to listen to the Holy Spirit within. Help me to stick with the message that saved me. Lord, help me to stay connected with Christ. Let nothing break my connection to Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Would you listen to the Spirit, the unction, the anointing within? Would you stick with the truth that set you free and delivered you? Would you stay in fellowship and stay in connection? Abide in Christ. Let him abide in you. Abide in the vine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.